Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk to film!
I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
It's another week, another chance for me to swallow your soul. Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast, officially the greatest podcast about movies on the internet that we've been doing for 15 years, Brad.
Yep.
Brad, be more excited. Fuck.
I've watched so many movies.
I know, I love it.
In 15 years.
Well, I do still love the watching movies. Nothing is more exciting to me.
Why can't other people get into that?
I don't know.
Why are we such an anomaly?
Right? I get really excited because it's 2 weeks for Spider-Man. I feel like sometimes things come up Milhouse, and for me that's like comes out well for me. So I have an Evil Dead movie, then in 2 weeks I have Spider-Man. Or is it 3 weeks? It's one of them. Maybe it's three.
Yeah, Hollywood's really been looking out for you.
It is 3 weeks because we have Odyssey next week. And then a week off, and then it'd be Spidey.
Yeah.
So this week we saw Evil Dead Burn. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not. Play the trailer, and then spoil it. We do have movie news this week, and we'll talk about what we watched. We really appreciate everybody that's been on this journey with us.
Thanks for sticking around, as we have been really bad at posting episodes.
We have. Our real life is getting in the way a lot, but... hopefully after summer it'll calm down, because you have a 40-hour film coming up.
I do.
So you got to start prepping for that, and you've been working on other projects.
Yeah, so trying to finish my Esquire movie.
I drove by the Esquire last week, and it's really fucking depressing.
Yeah, it is.
You still have a sign up.
Yeah. But the marquee where they put the titles is painted over beige.
Yep. And there's graffiti all over the building.
Yeah. They're constantly, they're really good about like covering it up, but it's just,
it definitely getting, wasn't covered up when I drove by.
They keep getting hit over and over again.
Well, what fucking assholes.
And it's been 3 years, 2 years now, like develop it or like leave it at the theater.
So I had this idea, if I ever won Powerball, which I started buying tickets, I was going to buy the Esquire.
I would do that too.
And then what I was going to do is going to go Esquire Theater presented by Real Nerds. Or Real Nerds present the Esquire Theater.
Yeah.
And then we could just have our own movie theater.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Show what we want.
I'd walk up to whatever Invesco properties and be like, how much?
Yeah.
Like, I got $22 million.
If I won Powerball.
Or $220 million.
If I had, because the last one was $800 million.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll give you $30 million for this. And then I'd renovate it.
My parents would be like, you shouldn't spend that much. You should put it into the whatever fund or whatever. No.
No.
This is going to the Esquire.
Nope. And so
another $500 million is going to the bug.
So I'd buy that. Then I'd put you in charge of designing it and stuff. And
yeah. Run it. We just show movies. We get the licenses to show old shit.
Yep. But I'll probably never win Powerball. But if I did, Brad, just know that you'd always have a job.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
watching movies and getting paid for it. Finally.
Hey, Kevin Smith put his buddy in charge of a comic book store. That did okay.
Yeah. But Kevin Smith's a director, makes money. I don't.
Well, I don't know if you listened to his podcast recently, and not that I didn't know this before, but he's not making a lot of money directing.
No.
He's taking a lot of free gigs. So that's why all the other podcast stuff and ancillary sales, that's where he makes his money.
Yeah, when's the last movie even directed?
4:30 movie?
Yeah. So 3 years? 2 years?
Last year?
Is it last year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Really memorable. I bought it for $7 at Barnes & Noble. I haven't watched it.
I thought you liked that one.
No, it was all right.
Yeah.
It's fun.
He says he's got something coming up in November, so
cool.
Hopefully it's finally Mallrats.
That'd be sweet. Anyways, this week, Brad, we saw Evil Dead Burn. Do you recommend the latest Evil Dead film?
You know, I don't know. I will say it is one of the most gnarliest Evil Dead movies. Like, if you're looking for gore and violence, like this this movie is relentless. Story-wise, didn't care much.
I don't know what Evil Dead has a great story.
Well, like the Raimi ones were fun. This is just like
I agree with that.
A bummer. Like everything going on. Some shallow characters. And also a heroine who's just like, as soon as you're ready to root for her, she just fucks up big time and just like blows everything. Can't get behind her. A lot of people make dumb choices. But yeah, if you want to see like a gnarly fucking movie, it's French. It's made by French people. How do you feel about that, Ryan? You love the French so much.
I actually really like this movie, but I do agree. It's funny. I agree with everything you said.
But you still love it.
But at the same time, there's a part of me that just enjoys the punishment, I guess. Here's a trailer for Evil Dead Burn.
We found you.
William, my sweet boy. I would give anything for us to be together again.
Our grandfather believed the devil would return. If anyone read from the Book of the Dead,
calm down. Whole family can be reunited.
Perfect family.
So this picks up right after Evil Dead Rise, because one of the things that Evil Dead Rise is it has a bookend that's actually, you know, I wrote that in Friday the 13th Reborn. Remember that? The beginning of the movie was the end of the movie.
I remember because someone lost the script.
I'm just saying that's that's how I wrote it. But anyways, it takes place at the lake, and the Deadite lady comes up and starts killing people. And then we cut to our main characters, who are horrible people, by the way. This is a few weeks ago I talked about Day of the Dead and there's no really redeeming characters. This movie is the same way. Because even there's just parts in this film that I go, man, these are just despicable people. And I really didn't feel bad when the Deadites were killing them. But anyways, there is this long thing where the family there's so much in this movie. So at the beginning, they're at a club that's owned by this guy and this girl, and the guy is the brother of. Yeah, there's so many characters. Let me get their names right because I'm going to get confused. I'm going to confuse myself.
I also fell asleep somewhere between that and them arriving at the house.
Okay.
So I need some catch up.
Sure. So we have, oh my God.
All I remember is like, yeah, they were leaving the club and the boyfriend and girlfriend were being shitty to each other. The boyfriend drove off and got himself killed.
Yeah. Because the deadites are looking for this family because in their family home that the, I don't know why he keeps coming to this area. What's up, bud? I mean, he's a good dog. I just don't know what he's doing. So they get into a fight, and as they leave, the guy's drunk, and he ends up wrecking his car and dying in it, and people think he just died from drunk driving, but he actually was attacked by the deadite, and the deadite possesses him. And while they're at his funeral, he's getting being ready to be cremated, the deadite gets out and infects the dad. They go to their family house that was given to them by the parents, and they don't like the son and his one wife. And then their grandmother must have Alzheimer's or something. And yeah, everybody in this family is fucking horrible. And so the dad is being slowly possessed by the deadite. And
the wife is really submissive to the dad.
Yeah.
For some reason.
And so they get to the family house. He's slowly being possessed by the deadite. He starts beating the dog and killing the dog for some reason. And then they decide they're just going to leave with him. Like, he needs to go instead of, like, I don't know.
We gotta drive him somewhere.
Yeah, because he's sick or something. And while they're on the way, then obviously the deadite wakes up. He tries to kill his son and his girlfriend. And then the son leaves his girlfriend in there to die while he's getting killed by his dad because he won't stop his dad from hurting his girlfriend.
Yeah. So they wreck that car.
Yeah. And so then he comes back freaking out because his dad and his girlfriend are dead. But then the girlfriend comes back and she's all fucked up and starts attacking the family.
She's got a headrest through her head.
Yeah. So basically, it just spirals out of control from there. There is a Bruce Campbell cameo. That picture is also used in Send Help. So, like, two times Bruce has been in.
But also, I'm just like, so is this Ash's family because they have his picture, or is it just like an Easter egg for the sake of having
Easter egg? Because they don't.
Do they know Ash? Like, yeah. Why is his picture in their house?
It's because we love Bruce. But there are some funny moments in it too. You know, the old lady going up. thing.
The motorized stairs, yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It's unrelenting. It's gory as hell. It's mean. You know, there's a part two where the dad keeps shooting himself in the head.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking, like, raw. And then the grandma sawing her leg off. But yeah, the one character moment and I really didn't like is the stupid wife when the dad was, like, floating outside the upstairs and she says, yeah, okay. And she opens and lets him in.
Yeah. Yeah. Come back to me. Yeah. We can make this work. Like, what?
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's saying something about being in an abusive relationship, but I think for some reason in horror films, it really sticks out because in your mind, you're going, what are you doing? Run away, get out of the house, whatever it is. I mean, I know in,
you knock the gun out of his hand, go get the gun. Nope. All right.
Yeah. I know in Evil Dead, you know, they can never escape because something happens to the road, but yeah, this movie is fucking pretty gnarly and it never stops. There's no real break. You know, it's just, we're just going to keep on fucking with you and mind fucking with you. And yeah, I think you're right. I think it's not as fun as the other ones. Even the 2013, which kind of set Evil Dead on this path it's on now, there's still some parts in that where, yeah, it's over the top, but I don't know, there's still some fun parts. Evil Dead Rise, not as many, but I guess because maybe the Deadites lost some playfulness to them In this one, they don't, they're not really playful. They're kind of just demons that want to hurt you. But yeah, it's, most of the practical stuff is great.
Yeah.
When it relies on the CGI is a bummer, but I get why. I mean, I guess you can't have a dude walking around with muscles and on fire, but
yeah. Yeah, but the biggest bummer for me was just like, okay, they set up the French girl as like the heroine,
mm-hmm.
but she's just like, every time she gets an upper hand, she like fumbles.
Yeah.
And then like the son also kind of has those moments too. You think he's going to be a big help, but he just like fucking
yeah, he needs to sucks. Go away though.
Yeah. And then like it all revolves around like they just happen to have this dagger in their attic. And that's what the Deadites want, is that dagger.
If you, in Evil Dead lore, I'm guessing that it does tie to the first one, because it sounds like, the voice kind of sounds like, well, it's definitely the voice from Evil Dead Rise. So who's ever recording the stuff is the archaeologist or whatever looking or trying to stop the Deadites. Because that's why they're attacking the family, is because they have this dagger.
Yeah.
And I mean, that scene was really cool where she crawled up through the ceiling, through the bathroom, and the Deadites kept on popping up. There's a lot that's really cool in this movie. And I don't know if there was any French influence in it. Maybe. I don't know.
It was maybe a French crew.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe how it's shot, but I don't watch French movies because they suck ass, so I don't know.
But the producer's like, dude, whatever that guy's making, let's make him do a Evil Dead movie.
Yeah, well, the cool thing what Sam Raimi does is he just hires up-and-coming directors and says, hey, man, just make an Evil Dead movie. Whatever you want it to be, make it. Which is cool, because each one of them, whether it's Fede Alvarez or Lee Cronin, you know, they're definitely different films. And then, you know, the very end, the tag scene where Alyssa comes back.
Which was really like killing a kid.
I know. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And two, it doesn't really make sense in the lore. So I don't know if it's a real... I don't know. Because at the end of Evil Dead Rise, she's like an amalgamation of all of them and just put together. So would she just be the one who comes back?
I don't remember how that ended.
So remember,
why was she in the lake?
She wasn't in the lake. That one ended with the girl going to the lake. And she stepped in like gore, but that one ended where her kids and her were all like one gelatinous blob, and then they were put through the wood chipper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know why she'd be the only one who comes out, but I mean, it doesn't really matter. I'm guessing that's just a fun little, cause they have Evil Dead Wrath comes out. Not, is it next year or the following year? I don't know, in the next year or so. And if I remember right, I remember reading that takes place in the 70s. So it couldn't be her. I guess it's just a fun little scene at the end.
Maybe they're the 70s and the modern day connect somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I'll watch it. They're fun.
But it was brutal.
Yeah, it was.
Poor kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that kid. She literally gets her head ripped off. Yeah, you don't see that happen very often in movies where the kid is just blatantly murdered.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, yeah. No, I had fun. It's maybe one of my favorite movies of the year. We'll see if it makes the cut for the top 10, because before you know it, Filmsplosion will be here.
Yeah. Speaking of Filmsplosions, we got to get the redo of 2016 done soon.
We can, and we will.
September, October, November, December. Yeah, it was only like 4 months to do
it. I'm sure there's a time when maybe before Doomsday and Dune, there might be a week where there's nothing. Yeah, it's Evil Dead Burn.
Cool.
Hey, movie news this week.
Well, oh, yeah?
Is it movie news? Not really, but it deals with what we like.
It's real news!
Sony made the really great decision to stop physical production of discs for video games.
Boo.
In 2028. And I have never seen the internet rally around something that basically call them, you know, your pieces of shit. Fuck you. It's been pretty brutal. And you don't understand why. I mean, how much money does it actually cost to produce a disc?
Petroleum. Might be expensive right now.
Well, yeah, but they're not doing that. But it's also our fault. As consumers, 80% of games are bought digitally now. So they find a way for you not to own this game. And they don't want you... I know that GameStop is the bane of existence for video game companies because they're making money off of a product that they're not making money off of. So when you...
Well, they did once.
Yeah, they did once, but they're not making it again. So I remember reading that video game... Well, not necessarily video game, but Wall Street wanted Grand Theft Auto 6 to be retailed at $100. Because they wanted AAA games to start being sold for more money so they can make more money. And if any game that people were going to buy no matter what, forecast says Grand Theft Auto 6. But what they didn't know is Grand Theft Auto did them a better favor of not having a physical disc in the game. So yeah, here's the code. So go fuck yourself. It's just, it's really disheartening. And so now, so my PlayStation 5... I have discs for. So when PlayStation 6 comes out, or am I going to be able to play my PlayStation 5 games? No, they don't want me to. They want to tell me to take my discs, turn them sideways, and shove them straight up my ass.
And rebuy them digitally on your 6.
Exactly. That's what they want me to do.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm sure the people who work for those companies are probably like enjoy the fact that they can resell their houses and their cars for money and don't get locked in subscriptions for those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just a slap in everybody's face because, I mean, what's the next step now? Well, they're going to stop making movies on disc. They're just going to find a way for you not to own anything. I hope not. You know, I think because vinyls come back. I mean, I buy vinyl now all the time. So you hope that that stuff will still continue to be manufactured.
But I think with music, like no one, like BMG or whatever, Elektra, like they don't have a subscription that is paywalls their stuff.
Yeah,
like they just let it be on Spotify.
Yeah, and I mean
they could revoke it.
You're 100% right, and also you know with
but yeah, they also let it be on Pandora. You can still get CDs.
Yeah, with games, it's odd because it's really shifted. I mean, my kid, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. He could give two fucks about Super Mario Brothers. Give me Roblox. Let me pay $5-6 every time I play to get some skin, some gun, which I think is totally fucking stupid. But even games now, my favorite game series, Mortal Kombat. Oh, you want to experience this game? Well, you can buy these skins or you can grind for them. And the way you grind for them is you get like 100 points every fight. You need 15,000 to level up to get the coins to buy this outfit. So it takes hours, but I when I do it, I grind the fuck out of it. I'm like, I'm not giving you any money. Fuck you. I spent $250 on Mortal Kombat 1 Collector's Edition. I'm not giving you any more money.
Or you're like me and you wait 3 or 4 years and you get the Ultimate Edition.
Yeah, right? And I mean, you can now. They have Mortal Kombat 1 Complete Edition and it just went on sale digitally for $9. So, yeah. Not very many people are happy, but Sony doesn't care.
Yeah, they're really sticking to their guns on this one.
Yeah, they're like, whatever, go fuck yourselves, we don't care.
Well, they'll change their tune if they see the balance sheets a little less.
Yeah. We watch films throughout the week, Brad, in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
This week, I got to see Inception in the theater again.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Haven't seen that movie in a while, and yeah, it's still pretty good. Yeah, like that theater is the best place to watch Nolan's spectacle. Cobb, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, has a team of guys, and they get hired to as kind of like payback for fucking up Ken Watanabe's job or whatever. They're like, okay, we're gonna go put this idea in this other tech guy or this like rich guy's mind of like to make him dissolve his company as a bonus for, you know, screwing up the job with the other guy. And then they have like these three or four layers of going into this guy's mind and like doing all this stuff. And by the end you're like, oh, is he still like in a layer or is he not with the whole top thing? But then I started to think, is the inception for Cillian Murphy's character, or is this whole movie an inception for Cobb?
Mm.
His team put this whole idea together because he's not over the death of his wife.
Yeah.
So is this whole, you know, dealing with these two rich guys, is this, because they talk about the elaborate plan, like, oh, we have to like make the story seem like this so it can make him think this to get to this layer, like for Cillian Murphy's character. But I'm like, that could also be true for Cobb. And like the way he walks out of the airport once the whole thing's done and he looks at others, the way he looks at all the other team members who are waiting for him as he walks through the airport at the end, kind of feels like they're like looking like, you got it. You finally got over, like you finally worked through it. So that's what I got out of it this time.
Yeah, I have to watch that again because now I'm playing the movie in my head.
Yeah, play it with that in mind and see. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because like the movie makes even more sense to me that way.
Huh?
Because yeah, she's like this specter that's like just like the monkey on his back, and it's threatening the job constantly. And it's like, oh, like,
you know, it is interesting you say that too.
And they can never seem to, well, I guess one character does see her, but anyway, go on.
Chris Nolan was on The Daily Show this week and he talks about, after Memento came out, he told people, hey, this is what happens in this movie. And his brother, who writes a lot of his scripts with him, is like, you dick, don't tell people how they should watch movies. You know, let them experience them. And so that's why he never tells you if you're right or wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe why his movies are always open for interpretation.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty, I mean, he's such a great filmmaker. Fuck.
Yeah. When you tell someone like, this is how it's supposed to be, then yeah, like eliminates their ability to experience it any other way.
Yeah.
Or on their own. Damn it.
Where did you see Inception? I didn't even see ads for it anywhere.
The Mayan was doing a Nolan. So they did Inception and then Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises, which I'll talk about. Although, nice. Well, I miss Batman Begins, but I also saw
watched
it
Dark
two other
Knight
times.
Recently too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also got to see Excalibur at the Alamo, even though it just came out on Arrow.
Yeah. I just watched that too. Well, yeah. Like a month ago.
It was better in the theater.
Is it?
Yeah. The music and the spectacle is like,
yeah,
at home it is a kind of like a little corny and cheesy.
You need the extra oomph from the theater.
Yeah. Like it's a little, I don't know, Monty Python and the Holy Grail adjacent. Like it's so
fair.
Earnest.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have those gags, but, yeah, like the spectacle just made it like seem more, I don't know, blockbustery than at home. And then the last thing, two more things. I saw Diabolique, which is I don't really watch a lot of like old stuff on this podcast and talk to you guys about it. But, I was working on the Esquire script and a couple months ago, someone who was doing the Wikipedia for it sent me a link. I was on vacation. I got the text, forgot about it. But then I was going through my stuff and I was like, oh, there it is. I'll go check out. Huge like update on the Wikipedia, like intense detail on the history of the Esquire. And so like I was reading a lot of like the older, like when it was the Hiawatha, and doing, yeah, all the classic movies. And one of them was, one of the ones that like, of a couple was Diabolique, like had some significance to, a certain run they had there. And it's in the Criterion Collection. So I was like, oh, and it's also on, I think, Tubi. So I was like, sweet, I'll check that out and see, like, can I mine stuff from the movie for the script and make, like, an homage to that since it has, like, an importance to the Esquire. And so, yeah, Diabolique is just about this, I think it's French, yeah, like, boarding school. It's run by this asshole.
He's French?
French asshole.
Yeah, there you go. That's what he is.
Who's got a wife and a side piece, and they
stud.
They know each other. They're kind of friends. They know he's cheating on her. All that, but he's abusive to both of them, And so they conspire together to try to kill him. And, you know, they trick him and run off to the side pieces, like, house, get him to come out there, and they drown him in the tub. And then they have to, like, take him back to the boarding school and, like, stage his death so it looks like an accident. And they dump him in the pool, and then the next morning, you know, they're waiting around for people to find him. They don't find him. And then they finally, like, manufacture this reason for someone to drag the pool, and he's not in there. And so they spend, like, the next couple weeks, like, really freaked out because they're like, what happened to the body? Are we going to get found out? And then towards the end, the side piece disappears, and then the real wife is left, like, trying to figure out, like, you know, what to do, how to, like, and she's, like, feeling guilt about killing him. So she finally confesses, and then you find out that the side piece and him had actually manufactured this whole thing to get rid of her and kill herself. And then they get found out by the detective who's been, like, they were trying to, like, not get the police involved, but he does anyway. And so he's snooping around, and after she kills herself, he reveals that he knows that the plot was to get her killed. And then you find out that the wife one-upped them and faked her death. So they got arrested, and she's off, you know, enjoying everything.
The French Riviera.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. I've never seen it, but I do know that it's very influential and very
and they remade
well discussed.
It.
Yeah.
I think in the 90s. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, I appreciate that it was, like, a couple layers of the trick. Yeah. Because even I was sitting there going, like, for a long stretch of being like, how did he escape? Like, what is the twist going to be? And it wasn't just like, oh, these two fuckers, like, messed with her head. Like, she also got them back. So that was cool. And then the last thing I watched was Bob Odenkirk and a bunch of other people made a remake of The Room.
I did hear about this.
It was for charity. They filmed it. It's kind of like on a green screen mostly. But yeah, Bob Odenkirk plays Tommy Wiseau's character, Tommy, and then a bunch of other people in that circle, play out the rest of the characters. Greg Sestero, who plays Mark in the movie, plays Chris R. but like the whole point of doing it was, like, especially for Bob Odenkirk, was like, can we remake it, but actually make it good this time? Despite the fact that they, like, have no budget, like, just through performance alone.
Yeah.
Can they, like, elevate it? And for the most part, like, Bob Odenkirk crushes it. Like, every time he changes the lines, like, he does make them better. Everyone else kind of, like, tries, but sometimes they just fall into repeating what already is.
Yeah.
So that drags it back down. And then when you have, like, okay, most of the set's, like, a green screen of the existing room. You know, it's just, like, everyone's kind of floating on stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's cheap, but it's like, again, like, they didn't have a budget, and it's for charity, so whatever. But,
is it entertaining is what's important?
No, it's still kind of a slog, but it's just interesting. Because when you, like, when you hear Bob Odenkirk say a line, you, like, I've watched The Room a bunch, right?
Yeah.
So I know that most of the delivery by heart.
Is that the movie you've seen the most?
Unfortunately, probably. Like, it's definitely probably the one I've logged the most. Like, I want to say I've watched Batman and Ninja Turtles way more in my life than The Room, but I didn't have Letterboxd when I was 12.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like, hearing, like, oh, like, that, delivering the line that way does make it make more sense and is more dramatic. So that's kind of cool to watch.
So yeah, maybe having a trained actor and who's knows what he's doing would make it better. I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Like the overall story is still what it is. Like, it, that doesn't make any sense, but as far as, like, performance wise, like, yeah, like an alternate read of this line does make it sound better. Or there, I can see the motion behind it better. So that was cool. It was like an $8 donation to some charity.
Well, there you go. You helped him out too.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. It might have been better not watching on my laptop. So they watched a movie up there?
Yes. My wife deaf?
Yeah, that's it for me.
Guess that's why she didn't move that much. I watched two things this week. One is a repeat, and I've seen it many times. I'll just talk about it briefly, is 51st Dates with Adam Sandler. Kino Lorber has been putting out his movies on 4K, and it was shot in Hawaii, so it looks actually really great. It's a cute movie. It's him and Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore plays someone who has memory loss, and she keeps... she can never remember past this day after her accident. And what's really interesting about it, this is all I have to say about it. I looked up this condition. It's a real fucking condition. I didn't know it was actually real. I thought it was kind of dramatized for the movie.
Yeah, it seems like a sitcom trope.
Yeah, but it's real. Yeah. So I'm sorry for anybody who suffers from that, because that would be fucking awful.
It's okay. They won't remember.
That's true, too. my wife wants me to go with her. She wants to go see Andre Bocelli at Red Rocks. And I said, why? He won't see me. And she didn't think it was very funny. It's fucked up, I know. But anyways, the movie I wanted to talk about is I mentioned last week that I've been getting these kung fu movies. And I was at Barnes & Noble, and because they had the they have their Criterion sale. And I was dead set on getting a Criterion movie. But when I was there, they had the Street Fighter collection for half off. And I had never seen the Street Fighter and with Sony Chiba. And so I was like, all right.
I got excited about the other one.
Oh, you, the Jean-Claude Van Damme. I already have that one. I'm like 4K steelbook. Have you seen the Street Fighter? Oh, dude. So the dialogue is really stupid. It's kind of cheesy. But the martial arts in it. Oh, so fucking badass, because it's so, you know, I've been watching Jackie Chan and his are fun. You know, it's rapid punches and this one is super violent. There's this one dude, my favorite part in it. They're not the setup, but anyways, he plays this assassin or this bounty hunter. I don't know what you'd call him, but basically he's paid by good guys, bad guys to kill people. But he does it with his fists and things like that. So he gets kind of tied up in this one thing. And this girl is being sexually assaulted by this guy. And the Street Fighter, I'll call him a Street Fighter because it's cool that way. He gets word of it. Well, he's going to rescue her anyways, and he sees it happening. So he goes into her room and starts kicking the shit out of him. And then he grabs his fucking dick and rips it off. And this is, I'm guessing, where Mortal Kombat got their x-rays from. Because in this one fight, he's fighting these dudes and he'll chop their head and it'll do an x-ray of their skull, like fracturing and stuff. So it's super violent. And he rips people's throats out. It's fucking awesome.
Wow.
So yeah. So that, it has three movies on it and it was 50%. It was 50% off. It cost me $18. So I still have to watch the other two. And it's a Shout Select, so there's some cool bonus features on it. So yeah, I'm going to... Arrow has a sale right now at Barnes & Noble for 50% off. And I know they have another Sony Chiba one that's The Executioner. I don't know if it's any good or not. But it's another one that'll be $20, and I think there's two movies in it. I'm going to so get it.
Nice.
Because I just... I don't know. There's something about just kung fu and them kicking the shit out of people that I've been getting into. And I don't know if it's because I've been working so much. And
you want to kick the shit out.
Yeah, and you don't have to be super cerebral watching it. It's more of, hey, there's a good guy, there's a bad guy, and the good guy is going to rip this bad guy's dick right the fuck off. And it's awesome, too, because he, like, rips his dick off, and then he falls down, and there's just this big blood puddle where his dicks used to be. Oh, it's fucking awesome. yeah, it's super gory, and... they're definitely B movies. I'm not saying that they're works of art, but there's something really badass about it, you know. And I'm just down with it. I not everything has to be, you know, Schindler's List. I can watch, you know, dudes getting their dicks ripped off, and he deserves to get his dick ripped off. What are you doing trying to sexually assault a woman? Your dick goes bye bye.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I watched this week. Yeah,
Brad,
totally. Next week we're going on a really long journey, Brad.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna follow Odysseus, and
are we going to go get an invitation first?
No, that's after.
Okay,
because
yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I saw it the other way around.
Yeah, you saw. Full disclosure. The Odyssey, and then there was nothing the next week. And
there
I,
will be nothing next week.
Yeah. So The Odyssey, but then there's nothing major coming out. So I wanted to see The Invitation, the invite anyways.
That came out this week.
Yeah.
But we didn't do two movies.
Yeah. So, but well, yeah, next week we're going on a journey.
Cool.
Odysseus, baby. See you at the movies. Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. Look at all the gods. Lights, camera, action. Real nerds. Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.